Hey Nuggets fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Whole show, PDC Energy, live and on location at the Budweiser Event Center. Previewing the big AMA Arena Cross Championship happening here tomorrow night. This is a heck of an event. Very cool. They turned this event center into a wild arena cross track. It's gonna be absolutely nuts. So it's cool to be out here. We're talking a lot of different things today. We've been all over the map, but we're happy to get this guy on the show. Brendan Vogt, DNVR Nuggets. He's our Nuggets insider. Brendan, my man, Happy New Year to you, brother.
Happy New Year, Brady. How you doing, man? Been a minute.
I'm doing good. It's good to catch up. I was off for a little bit the last week or so, but it's good to get back into the mix. And, hey, this Nuggets team, I know they lost on the back-to-back to Minnesota, but, hey, they also had a 30-minute delay where dudes are trying to fix a basketball rim or a basket up there the other day. That was hilarious. I felt for those guys, man. The pressure was on.
Man, they were so close to delivering the best and most feel-good win of the season, and they just had to keep their focus for what seemed like 5-6 more minutes. That turned out to be 36-plus minutes, as you pointed out. Ridiculous. Never seen anything like it, but they did hold their focus, and Malone was pleased with that. And a win that, this is easy to say from an optimist perspective, but a win that I think says more about the team than the loss that followed the next night.
I think you're exactly right. I mean, you go in a back-to-back, and it was a longer night than expected. And I think even, you know, guys were sprinting out there to get on the plane and get going. But you look at this game, though, going back to the Boston game, you're right. That game's more important than what the Minnesota game showed, at least for now. We'll see what happens against the Clippers tonight. But you win 123-111. That win and the way they did it certainly at least opens up the conversation of, okay, are the Nuggets in the conversation, not just the best in the West, but maybe the best team in the NBA right now?
Sure, and, you know, Boston now in a bit of a tailspin of their own. They went out and lost to OKC without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and gave up 150 in regulation in their next outing. So they're kind of dealing with what Denver was dealing with, you know, at the very start of the season. Okay, they look like a talented outfit. They can beat anyone, but they're taking their feet off the gas. And I think that's something Denver is maybe kind of rounding into form with right now. We've seen a little more discipline. It's harder to say after that Wolves loss, but they seem to be trending in the right direction. My ultimate point here is I think you're looking at a league where no one team has really taken up that mantle. There's four or five teams that could beat anyone, but no one looks to be that fully polished buzzsaw that sometimes exists in the NBA. I don't think you can pick a title winner yet, and of course there was a time and an era when sometimes we knew that well by Christmas.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that's what I love. I wondered if this was going to happen a few years ago. I remember kind of talking about it, saying, man, the way these stars are starting to spread out, it's not that we're not getting superstar teams joining forces and such, but you are seeing guys, you know, set up camp in their own place rather than Giannis and Luka saying, hey, dude, let's join forces. They're building up their own teams around them that, you know, that benefit them the most. And we're seeing all these great teams with a lot of great players, which I just think this is the best time to be an NBA fan. We don't know who the clear-cut winner is. We don't know who it's going to be because there are so many players playing at an outstanding level, and they're not on the same team. So it's spread wide open, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I think there are as many talented players in as many different markets as ever, to your point. Now, we've seen some incredible score lines this season. Some of those factors are good ones, fun ones. Some are a little more maybe detrimental to the health of the game. For example, I think it's virtually impossible to play defense right now. It's illegal for all but save like 6-7 guys in this league, in my opinion, and somewhat reputation-based. So it's very, very difficult to slow these stars. But another part of it, to the point that you were just making, another factor is there's simply so many of them. And it used to be, you know, look, there were 3-4 teams you feared. Now it's if you're not focused, you're going to lose to a lot of these teams, or a star is going to light you up. So there's a lot of talent around the league. What's been fun, though, from the Denver perspective is I don't know if anyone looks definitively more talented than Denver. It's not a lock. Doesn't mean they're going to win it all. But I think you like where they're sitting, at least I do, here in January.
That's a great point about the scoring, too. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, don't get me wrong, he's a great player, and he's had many years where you go, okay, he's one of the best players, but he's not top five right now, and then he just goes off for 71 right. points. So, I mean, right. these guys are throwing Luka do amazing things, but you're seeing guys like 60 points and a triple-double. I mean, these numbers are off the charts.
Yeah, the Donovan Mitchell line you just mentioned, I think what's going under the radar is that was two rebounds away from being a 71-point triple-double, which maybe tells us something about how we should view these stat lines. You know, as much as I appreciate all the talent around the league, at a certain point, 40 probably starts to mean something different than it used to, right, if it's this attainable. Bring it back to Denver again, though. What's been really cool and what we're so used to is, okay, there's all these guys who have these remarkable peaks. You know, the perfect storm of circumstances, including the factors we just discussed, set up these historic, you know, outbursts or electric outbursts. And then with Jokic, it's, yeah, we've seen the high peak lines, but it's just that it's there every single night. It's remarkable consistency. And so his greatness is not predicated on or attached to these, man, you got to see that on ESPN the next day performances, although he has plenty of those as well. It's really about the, man, every single night, he's hitting his baseline right now, and it's the number one reason why the Nuggets have seemingly turned a corner.
Yeah, no question. He's not having those near misses anymore. He's getting those triple levels. He's moving the charts again. Maybe he'll pass the game. Yeah, that game is off 30-12-12. I mean, he should have a floor of a week, Brendan, and I do it with teams that I cover. I keep getting people saying, dude, Where's the issue? Where's the UNC guys? The CU Bucks? And like, Joker is just, he's the player of the week every week. And they said, dude, he's going to be. Just make it somebody else. Good he is. He's going to be the player of the week every week because he's that freaking good.
He's kind of at that place now where the, you know, player of the month went to Luka, and I'm not going to complain. First of all, Luka's up to some stuff that Jokic was up to last year. Not really injuries, but no co-stars on that roster. So he's been incredible. But also just, I'm at the point where, yeah, you could make a case for him every week, every month. So I almost don't even care about the award anymore. And, of course, the fun thing is we know Jokic doesn't care at all as long as the wins are coming in.
No question. I mean, that's one of the things hearing about him is he just doesn't care. All right, how about the supporting cast? Obviously, Aaron Gordon has the level right now. He's played one of his better seasons, certainly here as a Nugget. Him and Joker are really connecting. It's good to see Porter back in the mix. Where are you with Jamal Murray at this point? I mean, you know he's been recovering from that injury. You're waiting for this guy to get back to even close to the bubble. But Jamal's kind of, for better or worse, he's more of an inconsistent player. Is he just a guy, Brendan, or do you see Jamal still possessing the superstar quality that we saw a few years ago back in the bubble?
I think it's one of the biggest questions about the Nuggets right now. And, you know, a lot of people have big rotation questions, and perhaps the simplest solution is that Jamal plays better, right? Like, he spent a lot of minutes with the bench, and those minutes are not going well. Now, I've argued in favor of changing that up, but an alternative perspective is, well, what's really wrong with keeping one of your two best players on the floor? Shouldn't he just play better? Jamal's kind of a funky player. You touched on it. We've seen the remarkable peaks. He's never really been a bastion of consistency, and it's why he's struggled to gain any sort of all-star momentum. That was true before the injury. That said, we have seen the sort of bottom line with Jamal, which is if it's a close game in the fourth, if he's missed 15 shots in a row, I'm still fine with him taking the next one. He knows what he's doing in crunch time, and that's a wondrous quality. But I think it's fair to hope for more, to ask for more. You know, he is too talented of a player to be a one-quarter impact type of guy. So, you know, his all-around impact, he's been kind of a better playmaker. That's great. But the reality is Denver needs him to be an aggressive and capable scorer, especially in those non-Jokic minutes. Now, this all sounds really aggressive. Like, they're the one seed out west. He's figuring it out. You know, I think he's been more helpful than hurtful. But you're right. Like, we're asking questions. We want to know where this team is at the end of the playoffs in June, not right now. And that would require, you know, a better version of Jamal to reach their goals. So I think it's about the time in the season he usually starts ramping up anyway. It would be a welcome sight here. It's one of the, you know, the defensive consistency is a big thing, but Jamal's consistency is kind of one of the few boxes this team has yet to check in terms of what you want to see in the regular season.
Brendan, this is probably a stupid question, a crazy question, but there's no conversation being had of what it would look like to trade Jamal Murray. Now, I personally look at it and go, then you just kind of hurt your depth. I mean, if you move on from Jamal, then Bones is moving up and whatever, but at least it's out there. I mean, you're paying him a lot of money. You want him to take that step. Is that even a thought in anybody's brain at that organization?
I mean, it's not something I've heard, you know. Definitely not something that's on record. It's really not something I've even heard off record, you know, which I wouldn't share with you anyway, but just to clarify, it's not like a hot topic conversation, you know. I think the simplest solution is just that he plays better. We know what Jamal's capable of, and we know the chemistry he has with Jokic. And furthermore, I think the identity of this team beyond Jokic's greatness, and Jamal is obviously an essential part of that. So I think that would be one of the last layers this team looks at in terms of how you change things up. You never know. I would say things would have to be going a lot worse than they are for that to really be on the table. This last time Jamal was healthy in the playoffs, he certainly looked like a capable player on that stage. Whether it was in the bubble or not, he stepped it up. So I would assume there is some patience and benefit of the doubt in play here. You know, Jamal's earned that to some extent for sure.
Brendan Vogt joining me from DNVR Nuggets. Last one for you, Brendan. My poll question today, and I've asked you this before, it's always worth recharging because we're feeling really good about the Nuggets right now. We're feeling like maybe, this team has just as good a shot as any to at least get to the finals, and then maybe we have this crazy battle between them and Boston. But there we go. There's kind of those expectations maybe that we think this team should be at least in the Western Conference Finals. If they don't get there, what does that mean for Michael Malone? You and I have had these conversations before of what that looks like. If they don't, my brain keeps going back to what Golden State did with Mark Jackson, and maybe that's an unfair comparison, but Mark Jackson kept getting this team into the playoffs, and they were good, and they revived that organization, couldn't get over the hump. Is that a similarity at all? Do you see some pressure mounting for Michael Malone this season and maybe into the next season if they don't reach at least the Western Conference Finals?
Well, sure. I mean, just think back to the start of December. They hadn't really notched a lot of these big wins. The defense had yet to trend up. You know, that Memphis kind of Christmas stretch really changed the whole vibe, and we weren't there yet. And gosh, that seat was warm. Maybe not internally, but in the world that you and I live in and in the world of fans, it was absolutely heating up. That's natural. Malone is, I think, the fourth longest tenured coach in the NBA, and that's he doesn't have a championship yet, right? So if you fail in what the front office has outlined as a championship or bust season, that's a conversation that happens. That's one of the first areas that's kind of natural to look at, right? If we think the team is good enough and they didn't get there, you absolutely look at the coach. I think in the regular season context, Malone has earned almost all the benefit of the doubt, or at least Malone plus Jokic in this version of the Nuggets. They win a lot of games. But the questions have changed. The question is different this year. What can they do in the playoffs? And there's nothing he can do right now, right, to answer that question. There will be tough questions had if they fall well short. And listen, with good reason, like this team is good enough, and this league is open right now. So there's as much a reason right now to say it's the time, they got to go get this done, you know, as there's ever been.
Yeah, no question about it. Brendan, my man, Happy New Year to you. Always appreciate your insight on all things Denver Nuggets, and we'll look to catch up with you next week.
I appreciate it, man. Talk soon.